Welcome to Regent University School of Divinity's Voices of Renewal.
My name is Corne Bakken. It's my privilege to serve as the Dean here at the Regent University School of Divinity. And one of our major areas of focus is on renewal theology. For us, renewal theology is very simply robust Trinitarian theology, where we focus on the continual work of God through his Son, our Savior, Jesus, in the power of the Spirit to renew his church and our world back to him. Well, folks, today it's a real special treat. We are privileged to have Dr. Daniel Iskrig with us. Dr. Iskrig is an assistant professor and the director of the Holy Spirit Research Center and Archives at Oral Roberts University. He has been an Assemblies of God minister for well over 20 years. Dr. Iskrig received a BA from ORU in 2000 and an MA in Theological and Historical Studies, as well as from ORU. And in 2017, Dr. Iskrig finished a PhD in Pentecostal History at Bangor University in Wales in the United Kingdom. His research interests are early Pentecostalism and, of course, Oral Roberts. And folks, that is what our conversation is about today. Welcome, Dr. Iskrig.
Thank you very much for having me. I enjoy being a part of any conversation where we can share about Pentecostal history and Oral Roberts and what the Holy Spirit's been doing. So thanks for having me.
It's a great joy. Well, Dr. Iskrig, before we get to Oral Roberts, I wonder if you would just spend a few moments speaking about your work at ORU, specifically as the director of the Holy Spirit Research Center and Archives.
Sure, yeah. So the Holy Spirit Research Center was started right around the time that the university was started, when Oral and several other administrators were recognizing that different Pentecostal charismatic groups weren't archiving their materials at the time. And so they wanted to start a library on the Holy Spirit that would accompany the university. So for over 50 years, we've been collecting and preserving and promoting the research on the Holy Spirit. And so we have a large collection of primary sources for different ministries and individuals, as well as secondary sources of studies of Pentecostal and charismatic movement. One of the things that really makes the collection unique is that Oral was pretty involved in the charismatic renewal, and so renewal theology was really important to us as well. So we have a really broad collection with charismatic Catholics and Anglicans and Presbyterians. We've been collecting and preserving that information as well. And so we host researchers from anywhere from active just interest in revival and renewal to PhD level researchers that come. So I facilitate that as well as work and preserving ORU's institutional history in our archives.
Which means you are sitting in the midst of a great treasure. And I'm going to confess my envy just for a moment there. I can only imagine the extraordinary resources that you have. Well, Dr. Iskrig, today we are speaking about Oral Roberts. And I wonder if you would spend some time, give us a little bit of a history here of Oral Roberts.
Yeah, so Oral is a son of Pentecostalism. He grew up in the Pentecostal Holiness Church in Oklahoma. And as a small child was ill. He had tuberculosis as a teenager and nearly died. But his parents were Pentecostal Holiness ministers, frontier ministers in statehood Oklahoma, when this was pretty much just a wild territory at the time. And but they traveled in brush arbors and preached. And Orr was ill, and so in a brush arbor, held in southeastern Oklahoma, Oral was healed when a Pentecostal evangelist rebuked the spirit that was in him that was causing his tuberculosis, and Oral was healed. And so after that, he felt the call to ministry and became an ordained evangelist in the Pentecostal Holiness Church and traveled around and was always very sort of unconventional, but not always successful as an evangelist. He and his wife and their small child starved, of course, trying to trying to preach in all these small frontier churches and across the U.S., even in Virginia. He was active there in Pentecostal Holiness churches there. Pastored a few places, but he always had that sort of restless spirit of evangelism. So most of the time he was an evangelist. But didn't really catch on to the healing message until 1947. And so there was a series of events that started his switch that way. So
it's extraordinary. Of course, in the 40s and 50s, there was a voice of healing revival that took place. I love the comment that you said. He was very entrepreneurial, not often successful. And when I think of these great figures of the 40s and 50s, it's maybe best to think of them as missional entrepreneurs, so mm-hmm. compelled by the message that they would go forth and try numerous ways to get the message out. So Dr. Iskrick, what was the message of Oral Roberts? And I wonder if you'll spend a few moments speaking about his methodology of ministry.
Yeah, so that was really the turning point. You know, as a spirit-filled minister, he kind of knew what his church taught about healing, about, you know, the presence of miracles. He'd experienced a miracle himself, but he didn't see it in the churches at the times in the 1950s, and so in our late, you know, 40s, and then that's when this sort of healing revival started in the 1950s, and there was a number of people, the Voice of Healing, William Branham and others, really brought healing to the forefront, and Oral was part of that, and it was sort of a renewal of the church to say, this is what God does. And for Oral, it was 1947. He was pastoring a church and doing fairly well. I mean, he could gather a crowd, but he was really dissatisfied with sort of the living out of this supernatural life. He wasn't seeing it. And so that's when he felt like God spoke to him and said, you know, you're going to take healing power to my generation. Mm-hmm. And that was that innovation for him, was that, you know, God told Oral, he said that, you know, don't be like other preachers. Be like Jesus. Jesus is your model. And so when he read the Gospels, he saw what Jesus did. He said, okay, this is what I'm called to bring healing to my generation. And so instead of just preaching and getting people saved and getting people filled with the Holy Spirit, which he certainly did well, he started preaching healing and that God was a good God. And that paradigm shift was really important for him, because when he was sick with tuberculosis, Pentecostals are coming to him and saying, hey, you know, God did this to you. You've got this problem because you need to repent. You need to become a Christian or whatever. And so that paradigm shift, that, you know, God heals because he loves, and God heals because he's good. And that entrepreneurial idea really launched him into the forefront. And that's just what he proclaimed. You know, that's why he believed in healing. And that's why he ministered healing, because he believed that God was a good God. His theology of God changed, and that changed his ministry. And, you know, sometimes our doctrine can get in the way of our view of God. And for Oral, it really definitely was, until he saw the true God of Scripture. He's a good God. And so he proclaimed that message. God is a good God. He'd start every service with that song, God is a good God, you know, and then he went on television, which was another innovation. And he put all of that spirituality right there in prime time. And that made a huge difference, because people who had never seen Pentecostal services before, healings before, anything like that, could watch it on prime time. And that really did change everything.
Dr. Iskrick, I'm so grateful that you bring up the subject of theology and doctrine. So out of that Voice of Healing revivals, multiple evangelists or ministers during that time lost their way a little bit sometimes with doctrine. You mentioned William Branham, and I can think of somebody like John Alexander Dowie and A.A. Allen and so forth. But Oral Roberts stayed true, right, to, as you mentioned, the God of Scripture. I wonder if you have any thoughts on sometimes the dangers that go together with an evangelistic ministry where the minister is right in the forefront on television.
Yeah.
And yet Oral seem to have remained true to an orthodox biblical theology of God, right?
Yeah, he did. Now, he was a very inquisitive child, never finished high school, obviously, and then he started college several times and never finished either, but he's very intelligent, and he always knew that thinking through the theological parts of his, you know, beliefs was really important. But I think it was more than that. I mean, he had a great mind, and he believed in the Word of God, and that was central to him. But one of the things I think that characterized him is he would start every healing service with, if you've come to see Oral Roberts heal, you're going to be disappointed because it's Jesus who heals. And that paradigm for him was really important to keep him theologically humble. And I think that sometimes when people have big supernatural ministries, they begin to believe that it's about them. And, you know, that's very common, and it's easy to believe your own press, right? But he always knew there was nothing too oral. It's all about God. It's who God is. And so keeping things on who God is really kept him from the extremes, I think, that some of the others saw. You know, Dowie saw himself as, you know, the end time Elijah, and, you know, other people sort of put themselves on this pedestal. And Oral tried, he tried not to keep that that same mentality. He knew that the God of the Scriptures is the God that deserves the attention and the praise, mm-hmm. and the study and the worship, and so he balanced that pretty well. And then, of course, obviously, it takes a special kind of healing minister to build a university, to even think that a university is valuable, that education is valuable, that study is valuable, that, you know, delving into the deep things of God is valuable. But he saw that, and he saw that need. And so even building the university was out of that desire to stay faithful and true to Scripture.
Hmm. It is an extraordinary thing when we think about his legacy. So, Dr. Iskrik, what in your mind, what is the long-term legacy of Oral's ministry?
Wow. So, you know, he's significant as an American religious figure, for sure. His biographer, David Harrell, said that there were two main American religious figures that shaped the 20th century, and that was Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. And so, you know, Billy Graham was definitely, you know, on the leading edge of evangelism, but Oral mainstreamed through innovation in media and things like that. He put on primetime television things that nobody had seen before. And that by itself was a very ecumenical thing to do, because it brought all kinds of people into the Spirit-filled movement who didn't know they needed what this movement offered. And so to renew the church in that way, I mean, he was really an instrument that helped to renew the church and to bring, he was very involved in charismatic movement. He was very involved in Full Gospel Businessmen, which was also a really important organization that was doing that. It was opening the tent, as it were, to bring people into the reality of the Spirit-filled life. And so, you know, that's a big part of his legacy for sure. And then the reminder that God is a good God and that God heals. You know, there's all kinds of theologies of healing, but most of them are sort of framed in a historical way of looking at it. You know, did the apostles' healing continue? And, you know, all these sorts of rational questions. But Oral was always pointing back to, no, this is who God is. If this is what God did back then, this is what he does now. And so to keep pointing people to that picture of God, the God that cares, you know, even though he preached salvation, it wasn't a, you know, fire and judgment God. It was a God who loves, a God who wants to redeem us, a God who can deliver us from our suffering and our sickness. And that reminder is really important. You know, our world is filled with all kinds of suffering, and to remind the world that God is a good God is a really important message, I think. Mm. And so he did that well, and I think that really helped us.
So one of the interesting things when we think of the early Pentecostal movement was not only the movement's ability to bring in so many different people, but to emphasize some core biblical truths such as holiness and dependence on the Holy Spirit and the need for empowerment. But often what ends up to be our strongest points can sometimes become in some ways weaknesses. And when we look at the history of the early Pentecostal church there, it became somewhat of a separate group. And at least in my reading, when I think of great evangelists in the late 40s, 50s, 60s, like Oral Roberts, his ability to build bridges, his ability to bring other folks in.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this yesterday in a conversation with someone, and I said, you know, today, if you go to kind of churches that historically would not be aligned with renewal, mm-hmm. when you stand in worship today, people are raising their hands and clapping, and the gifts are operating. And we tend to forget that in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, this was not true. And yet people like Oral Roberts opened that door, right, and took the message of Pentecost and of holiness to the larger church. Dr. Iskrick, I don't know if you agree with me.
Absolutely. Oral was famous for saying, Pentecost is not a denomination, it's an experience. And, you know, so he didn't fit sort of the formalized groups very well. And, you know, there was a lot of tension even with his own Pentecostal body he came from. But he really believed that the Holy Spirit was a gift to the whole church, that what the empowering of the Spirit was a gift that everybody needed. Mm-hmm. And ORU became one of those places where all kinds of people could come, and, you know, different sort of theologies within our own traditions, but yet the Holy Spirit held those people together. And so the Holy Spirit is a tent that does bring unity to the body of Christ. In fact, in my master's thesis, I wrote about Howard Irvin, and Irvin was a mm-hmm. Spirit-filled Baptist who was a professor here at ORU, wrote one of the earliest sort of defenses of the Pentecostal renewal. And Irvin said the number one priority of the Spirit is the healing of the church. And I think people saw that in those days. You know, I think Pat Robertson saw that. I think that the Charismatic Renewal saw that. And I think that Full Gospel Businessmen saw that it was the Holy Spirit that would bring people together. And that would invite people in who would not denominationally come in. It was the life of the Spirit that made a difference.
Dr. Iskrick, so my question to you is, if Oral was alive today, what do you think he would say to the church? What would be his message?
Well, yeah, I think he would celebrate. I think in some ways he would look at the church and see that, like you said, when you go into these different contexts now where some of our spirituality that we used to be mocked for is now sort of mainstreamed, and I think he would be proud of that. I also think that he would be proud of the fact that we're sort of post-denominational now, that we honor our, you know, our traditions, but our traditions don't define us, that the body of Christ is bigger than that. But I also think he would probably look at us and say, well, we might be in form looking more renewalist, but are we truly renewed as a church? You know, is that... I mean, we look more like Pentecostals and Charismatics, but are we still emphasizing the fact that the Holy Spirit is alive and working today, and that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a valuable experience, and the empowering of the Spirit, and is healing still for today? So I think he would probably be a voice of renewal today, just to say, hey, remember, this is not just about worship polity. This is about This is about the life of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in the now, as he would say here. You know, what God is doing right now, and call us back to that.
Dr. Iskrik, that's, as somebody that works within higher theological education, that's the danger always, is it not? To study certain biblical truths but not experience it ourselves. What a great, great callback. If folks were to be interested in learning more about Oral Roberts, where should they start?
Yeah, sure. There's a couple of great places. Of course, the main biography of him was David Harrell back in 1985. And, you know, that's a really good one. And Oral wrote his own biography in 95 called Expect a Miracle. And that's really a great insight because it's towards the end of his career. And it is an honest sort of account of his life and, you know, the ups and the downs. You know, he lost two children tragically in the 70s and the early 80s. And he talks about that. So it's a pretty honest account. And I really appreciate that. Also, ORU's journal, Spiritus, the ORU Journal of Theology, did a special centennial volume on him in 2018 with some new stories about Oral's life and studies of his life. And that journal is freely available online. You can look spiritus.oru.edu and you can read that. And so those are some great places to learn more about it. I have several articles in there as well as other articles that I've published on his legacy. His legacy of racial reconciliation was really important as well. Mm-hmm. And I have an article on that. So there's lots to learn and uncover as we look back and sort of see the genius, you know, imperfect genius, and he never claimed to be perfect, you know, and not without controversy, but a lot of pretty amazing innovations for that day. And a lot of messages that would really speak to us today.
Well, Dr. Iskrik, many takeaways for today. The Holy Spirit is the great healer of the church. Yeah. I'm going to think upon this for the rest of today. And then this marvelous invitation in our ministry as broken, often very broken people, to make Christ big. Mm-hmm. And to make a commitment that it's about the fame of God.
Yeah.
Dr. Iskrik, we will pray for you. We are so grateful for all the work that you are doing there at ORU and the great legacy of Oral that continues. I wonder, as we close today, if you would pray for our listeners and pray for us.
Yeah, certainly. God, we just thank you that you brought people into history to remind us of truths of who you are. And so with that, we're grateful for Oral Roberts, because in a time when your church needed to hear that you're a good God and that you care about the suffering of humanity, Lord, you sent Oral Roberts to bring that message to this generation. And Lord, from that, so many others have picked up that mantle and have spread that news to the church. And I pray today for the listeners and for all of us as a church, that we would renew our focus on you as the God who is good, as the Jesus who heals, and as the Spirit who fills our lives and helps us to live our lives for you. And so, Holy Spirit, we pray for your church, that your church would be renewed, and that we would all come into the unity that you prayed for us in John 17, that we would be one. And so, Lord, as we serve, as we do our things, as we serve in our churches and work in our marketplaces, God, that you would help us to bring that message to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, may this be true for us. And Lord, start with me. Mm-hmm. Folks, if any of you are interested in the programs here at the Regent University School of Divinity, you can always go to regent.edu. Dr. Iskrik, thank you so much, and God bless you and your ministry.